During this summer series, we are exploring passages in the Bible that represent what God has to say to his people during turbulent and uncertain times. And today I'm going to do so in the context of America on this Independence Day weekend. These are not the most challenging times we have ever experienced as a nation by a long shot, but these are challenging times. Politicians have agendas, experts are divided, statistics are manipulated, the news has digressed to a 24/7, 365 cacophony of equal and opposite opinion shows. We live in a culture where nothing seems less common than common sense. And that's why it's so important that we as a church stay on mission and listen carefully to the voice of God. We also need to be very cognizant of those pings of the Holy Spirit that prompt us to move and to act in very intentional ways. We have to ask, what does God want us to do? What does God want me to do? Those are serious questions that serious Christians ask during turbulent times. And as it turns out, God gave us this most incredible navigational tool to help us answer those questions. It is called the Bible. Today, I am offering my third and final passage from Isaiah. I know I promised last week was my second and final passage, but you will have that from time to time. Isaiah writes to a Jewish people who are crushed on the battlefield. They have lost national identity. They have been exiled to Babylon. Now, Israel believed in their heart that one day they would return home, but as generations passed, God's people were feeling pressured to capitulate to the prevailing godless culture. I'm just going to stop right there. Hear me. God's people were feeling pressure to capitulate to the prevailing godless culture. And Isaiah said, hey, we're not going to do that. You can't be tempted to give up on being a holy and set apart people just because it's hard. The songs of David were growing faint in the people's ears, and they were frankly losing hope. They needed a new song. They needed something to buoy their spirits. They needed something to rally around. They needed fresh wind and fresh fire. Our passage is today is a song that is sung about events still to come. It's a song of faith. It's a song you sing about a better day when that better day has not yet arrived. Verse 10, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praises to the ends of the earth. Sing all you who sail the seas, all you who live in distant coastlands. Last Sunday, we met outdoors, and it was a joy to join with a few hundred of you and just sing to the Lord in community. We will worship outdoors at Fairview Heights at 8 o'clock next Sunday morning. At 10 o'clock, we will worship outdoors at the Collinsville-Maryville campus. Assuming there's not a major breakout of COVID in our region between now and then, we plan to completely reopen the church on July 19th. My heart in reopening is not to get back to normal. My hope is to sing a new song. My prayer is, God, would you plant a new song in our hearts? Because the old song is growing faint in our memories. There's some organizing thoughts I want to get at before we jump into this. I have five of them. Number one, we need to realize we can't go back. You want to know why? Because there's nothing to go back to. We just can't go back 4 years ago when the country seemed less tumultuous. We just can't go back to pre-COVID. We need to go forward. There's nothing to go back to. Number two, we need to double down on our mission. We exist to connect people to Jesus Christ. Number three, we must hold tight to our theology. And what I would call my personal theology is a good-natured and loving orthodoxy, deeply rooted in the scriptural tradition. Number four, we must re-examine our methodology. Our theology has to remain where it is. Our methodology, how we do things, highly negotiable. And number five, we must view change as an opportunity. You want to know part of the reason we can't go back? Because there are things we just don't want to go back to. Can we see that what we're going through is an opportunity to do things even better? Our Going Deeper worship service opens on Wednesday of this week live. And I pulled the leaders in, Ashley and Dwight Sanders and Jen and Joe Doherty. I pulled them in and we had a meeting. And we said, okay, as we prepare to open Going Deeper, let's begin with what would be an ideal. Let's not waste a perfectly good crisis just to go back to what we had before. What would an ideal Going Deeper evening look like? And you know what? We got dreaming about that. We would say something and somebody goes, well, I don't know if that can happen. I said, no. We don't want to talk about what could happen or whether or not it's feasible or likely. Let's just talk about what we dream about. And God put a new song in our heart. I'm so excited about the format that you'll be seeing on Wednesday night this week because we just started dreaming. We got that new song and we began to view change as an opportunity to do something even better. Verse 11, join in the chorus, you desert towns. Let the villages of Kedar rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Shout praises from the mountaintops. Let the whole world glorify the Lord and sing his praise. This new song will not just reach the cities, it will reach the remote places. Kedar referred to a group of desert Arabian nomads who just lived off the grid. The song is going to reach even people you can't find. Selah really is the capital of the Edomites and probably was located where Petra is today. You know, I've been to Petra. You can be a mile from Petra, and because it's all in a gorge, not even know it's there. The song is going to even reach there. In fact, it will not only reach the remote places, but it will reach the entire world, and we will all join in the chorus. Never has this passage, in a prophetic sense, been easier to understand. The ancients may have wondered how any song anyone was singing could reach all over the world, but we don't have to wonder at all. With the power of the internet, a song released today could reach the world in an instant. During my first year of college, there was a famine in Africa. And frankly, the world seemed like a whole lot bigger place back then. People were suffering and few knew about the human tragedy. Singer Harry Belafonte, who was a generation and a half before my time, felt the ping to do something about the famine in Africa. And he did do something. He did the impossible. He made an altruistic appeal to the most established and hottest musical artist of his day. And he composed a dream team to record a song that literally inspired the whole world. At a point, the whole world could finally be inspired by a song. The supergroup was called USA for Africa, and he asked all of the members to check their egos at the door to become part of something bigger than themselves. They did, and they were. I want to watch a portion of that video shot in 1985. The song was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. It was produced by Quincy Jones and Michael Omardian. It was called We Are the World. And to those of us not feeling old enough already, the song was recorded 35 years ago. Feel the power of a song that was heard all around the world.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day.
Now you're going to have that in your head all day. Music unites us. Music inspires us. Music makes us laugh and cry. Music tells our stories. Music articulates our dreams. So let's play a game. I just want you to see how powerful a new song can be. I'm going to give you a title of a song and a songwriter and a date of release. And then I want you just to take a few seconds and just kind of contextualize that information. Does this song bring an event to your mind? Does it put you in a certain time in your life or a certain place? Does it give you hope or does it give you in comfort? How does this song impact you? Are you ready? Here we go. This song was written by Common and John Legend in 2014. The song was called Glory. This song was written by Alan Jackson in 2002. The song was called Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning? The song was written by Bart Millard of Mercy Me in 1999. The song was called I Can Only Imagine. The song was written by Jack Norworth and Albert von Tilzer in 1908. The song was called Take Me Out to the Ball Game. The song applied an existing tune to a poem written by Francis Scott Key in 1814. The song was called The Star Spangled Banner. And our last one, the song was written by Isaac Newton in 1779. And the song was called Amazing Grace. So, let's sing a new song. Verse 13, the Lord will march forth like a mighty hero. He will come out like a warrior full of fury. He will shout his battle cry and crush his enemies. Has it happened yet? Nope. Is it gonna happen? You better believe it. Ancient warfare was always a battle of the gods. Banners, idols, standards of the gods always led ancient armies into war. There was no type of war other than holy war. In the Old Testament, there are three types of military situations. One, subjugation for sin. The people sin, a foreign superpower comes and oppresses and dominates God's people. Number two, conquest toward promise. God empowers the army to fulfill the promise made to Abraham. But number three is very different. It's deliverance. God fights for his helpless people. It's number three that we're talking about right here. Exiled Israel does not stand a chance of defeating a superpower like Babylon or Assyria or Persia. They don't even have an army. But if God, the maker of heavens and the earth, decides to deliver his people, he will personally go to war on their behalf. Are you hearing me? If God wants to do something in your life right now, he will personally go to battle on your behalf. Verse 14, he will say, I have long been silent. Yes, I have restrained myself, but now like a woman in labor, I will cry and groan and pant. I always struggled with this verse. Why would God restrain God's self? And then it hit me. The exile of Israel for their sins broke the heart of God. He wanted to deliver them, but he was restrained by his own sense of justice and righteousness. Have you ever had to punish your kids or your grandkids, and it really just hurt you to do so? I mean, everything in you wanted to let them off the hook or let them emerge from punishment way too early. But you don't do it because you know you've got to let them learn their lesson. That's how God is with Israel. It's how God is with you and with me. God holds back and he holds back, but he anticipates the time he can again bless his people. And soon he will cry out with unrestrained furor on their behalf. Verse 15, I will level the mountains and the hills. I will blight all their greenery. I will turn the rivers into dry land and dry up all the pools. You got to remember in biblical prophecy, when God moves on behalf of something, the desert turns into a garden. But when God stands against something, a garden turns into a desert. The exile of Israel allows God to use what I'm going to call his preferred weapon, nature. Mountain leveling earthquakes, crop blighting droughts. God is getting ready to bring Israel's enemies to their knees. And he's going to accomplish his will without stringing a bow or swinging a sword. Does God have the power to do such things? We established that last week. He's the one who created and named the stars. He's the one who choreographs their movement across the skies. Of course God can. And Isaiah is reminding us that God will. Verse 16, I will lead blind Israel down a new path, guiding them along an unfamiliar way. I will bring the darkness before them and smooth out the road ahead of them. With oppressors soon to be leveled and blighted, Israel will have a new beginning. But they won't begin with the strength that they once had. They will begin in a weaker place. Their eyes will be in a dimmer place, but they will emerge from weakness to strength, and they will emerge from blindness to sight. As we prepare to reopen the church on July 19th, on Sundays, we don't do so, and we won't do so with the strength we had in February, but we will move from weakness to strength. Large churches around the country who are reopening now are reporting only about 30 to 40% of their people are immediately coming back. No one is completely sure of the path forward. And the question becomes, who will lead us? Isaiah promises that the God who makes all and sees all, he will lead us like one leads a blind man down an unfamiliar path. You see, if you're leading a blind man, somebody has to be able to see. Somebody has to know the path. God says, you can't see, but I can see. God says, you are weak, I am strong. I will lead you down the path until you can see again, until you are strong again. And since it's a little tough, God even says, I will brighten the skies. And because you can't walk very well, I will level the path. I will not only lead you, I will miraculously act on your behalf. Do I know what's in front of us, Christ Church? Nope. Do I know what lies on the other side of COVID-19? Nope. Do I know when all this mess with COVID-19 is gonna end? Nope. But I do know this. I believe that God will faithfully lead us. He always has, and he always will. And then he says, yes, I will indeed do these things. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, those who say you are our gods, they will be turned away in shame. So here's the simple piece of this. If we trust in God and maintain our hope in God, he will lead us to a good place. If we give up hope and begin to trust in other things, we will find ourselves in a bad place. Really, really simple. The promises of God are for those who trust in God. The Babylonian exile reminds us you don't get to act any fool way you want and expect God to bless you. Here's the deal. God does not get on board with us. We have to get on board with God. As we pause in the midst of cultural turbulence to celebrate America's independence from England, we do well to ponder our own future and the opportunities we have before us. As I think about Christ Church, we have to answer two related questions. Number one, what is our mission moving forward? And number two, what is our message to a turbulent culture? Number one is easy. We exist to connect people to Jesus Christ. And number two is becoming more and more clear to me all of the time. We need to let our culture know that their future does not rest with the politicians. It does not rest with the statisticians. It does not rest with the pundits. But the future of our culture rests on whether or not we will align ourselves with the values of a holy God. Might we, by faith, be so bold to sing the songs of the reign and rule of God, even in the midst of turbulence, even before we see evidence of it. Since this is a holiday weekend, some theological perspective on America might be helpful. And I would just say this in the simplest of all ways. God can't bless our nation if our nation insists on turning from God, no matter how bad he may wish to do so. The very idea seems a bit hopeless to me. If it was a song, it sounds like the blues. But there's a promise hardwired into the scripture that spins the whole thing around. And I think it's most succinctly put in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Hear me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So here's our hope. If you and me, as Christian people, will humble ourselves, will pray, will seek the face of God, and if we will turn from our wicked ways, God promises he will hear us, he will forgive us, and he will heal our land. Not just our lives, not just our family, not just our communities, but God will heal our land if the church will just be the church. God's blessing on America is not on those people out there. It's on us. It depends on us. I don't know about you, but I am willing to say, God, I humble myself. I don't know what the future holds. Sometimes I'm not sure where to turn. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed. Dear God, if you don't lead me, I don't have a chance. I humble myself before you. Dear God, I don't want to seek the wisdom of this world. I want to seek your face through prayer. And dear God, what you reveal to me, I will turn from those wicked ways. Please take anything, any attitudes out of my life that are not congruent with your hopes for my life. My friend, a prayer like that is something that God could do something with. It's something that he can bless a whole nation because of. We're gonna have a day of prayer and fasting on Tuesday of this week. You'll be getting more information through Realm and through our Facebook and social media outlets. And I'm just gonna simply ask you to join me in a day of fasting. Here is the new song. God's people, being God's people, are the hope of America. God's people, being God's people, are the hope of America. And if that's the case, I'm feeling better already. I want to prophesy with Isaiah that the very best days of Christ Church are still to come. I believe that yes, we are in cultural upheaval, but maybe it's an opportunity to move forward into something better. Yeah, I get it. There's a lot of turbulence out there, but maybe it's an opportunity to move into something better. What is the key? The key is the church being the church and God's people being God's people. And I can say to you that I believe without a doubt, for such a time as this, God has raised up Christ Church. Have an incredible weekend. Let's remember how blessed we truly are, even to be able to proclaim the word of the Lord freely and openly and over the internet where it resounds and goes out to the whole world. Let's be thankful for the good things. For the things that need to get better, let's commit ourselves to making them better. And let's always remember, at the end of the day, God's blessing upon this nation isn't about all of those people that do not know God or reject God or hate God. It's about those who claim to love God. If you and me will be everything God has created us to be, our future is bright indeed.